Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the 14th chapter of Deuteronomy. There are 29 verses in this chapter, plus we have some commentary. Let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless the 14th chapter, to anoint it. Father, anoint chapter 14 of Deuteronomy, all your words, and give me the right words to say, Lord. Anoint me so that the commentary is the thing that will cause the hearers of this tape to get closer to you, to have more faith in you, to believe in you. For, Lord, there's no other way that we can believe who you are, what you are, and what you like and dislike, unless we read your word. We are commanded to fear you and keep all your commandments. How can we know? It's impossible for us to know what your commandments are without our reading the Bible. And, Lord, we need to apply them to our lives on a daily basis. Lord, let everyone receive these words, your instructions, your commandments, as their key to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because everything that you tell us to do, loving you, entering the kingdom of heaven, and your loving us, is all conditional. These people that state that you love us unconditional are liars. Lord, show us all your conditions. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen. Okay, so let's start reading.
Deuteronomy chapter 14, the ceremonially clean and unclean animals. King James Version, verse 1. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead.
Right, so there's no reason to do anything for the dead. Even Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Once the person is dead, their spirits are wherever they're going to be eternally. They're either in hell or in the kingdom of heaven. And there isn't anything that you can do like cutting yourself or cutting your hair or beating yourself or paying anyone to get them out of a purgatory which doesn't exist. That doesn't work because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment, and it's just useless. You can mourn for them because you know you're not going to see them again until you either get to heaven or hell. And if you get to hell, it won't be any gratifying thing to see them there because two people are too busy. Everyone there is too busy screaming and yelling their heads off to get out, and they know full well that they never will. And so, but if they're in heaven, you'll see them, you'll recognize them, because all of us will be recognized as we were in this world, only we will be perfect, beautiful. If we had only one leg or one arm, or we were without both arms or legs or eyes or whatever, we'll be all together. Everything, there's no such thing as imperfection in heaven. And so this is a commandment that the Lord, he wants you to know that. He wants you to realize that it's no good to pray for the dead or to try to bail somebody out of hell or a purgatory which doesn't exist. It's impossible for somebody to come back once they... there's no such thing as reincarnation, that you're going to either heaven or hell, or the lake of fire, or heaven. The only way you can tell these things is by reading the Word of God. Otherwise, you're steeped into superstition and false doctrine, and that isn't going to do you any good at all. You're just wasting your time, spinning your wheels. Okay, go ahead. Verse 2.
For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God.
Yeah, so you're supposed to believe that there's just a heaven and a hell after you die, and there's no reincarnation. People say, well, there is reincarnation because we heard that people, when they're being when they're under sodium pentothal, they'll start speaking in another language like Chinese, and they never lived anywhere but Texarkana, Arkansas, or Texas, or Houston, and they never studied Chinese or Japanese language or anything like that. What it was this supposed to be phenomenon is simply that some demon-possessed person that was Chinese or Japanese, the demon in them left that dead body and went into another body that had the same weakness they had. If they were a whoremonger, they had that same weakness, well, that spirit enters into them. And, of course, when you're under sodium pentothal, that spirit starts talking. And speaking in Japanese, Hebrew, Russian, the Philippine language, whatever. Japanese, Chinese. And like there was a pharmacist that was an alcoholic and a drug addict. And he used to steal drugs from the pharmacy that he was working at. And he overdosed and died. Then there was another man that occasionally took drugs, and that demon found him and saw the weakness there and entered into him. And that man, when he was on drugs, went to the pharmacy and got in there and went exactly to the place where the narcotics and drugs were, because he'd been in that pharmacy for years working there, the demon in the man, and he was able to go in there, and he just knew the whole layout of the place. A lot of people call that deja vu, like you fly to a place. If you were possessed with a demon that used to live in Holland or in some town, and you say, I know this place. I've been here before. No, you haven't been there, but the demon in you has been there before. That's what it's all about. And so, no, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And another thing, too, is a lot of people that are homosexuals, they say, well, I was a homosexual. I was just born to be a girl when I'm really a boy. No, what it was is that a homosexual demon entered in that person when they were just a child, when they were babies even, because babies are totally defenseless against evil spirits. I remember when I was still in diapers, and my dad wanted to see. He always thought I was extremely smart, and he wanted to send me to the store, which was just across about a 15-foot patch of lawn from the duplex that we were living in. So there was a long stairway down from our apartment on top, and he gave me $1 to get some stick matches and something else, and it came to 50 cents. There was 50 cents change. And so as I was going down the steps, I was totally naive to anything. I never thought of stealing or lying or anything like that. But when I was about 1/4 the way down the steps, it was like a spiritual, strong, overpowering spirit hit me. And God, it like overwhelmed me. It sent goose pimples all over me. And I wondered, what is this? And it was saying, take the money, take the change, and put it, and hide it. Don't give it back to your father. And so when I went to the store, this whole scheme to do that was in me. A little, well, I don't think I was even 2 years old at the time. And so I came back from the store, and there was a mat down at the bottom of the steps, and I took the 50-cent piece and put it under there. And I didn't see my dad anywhere, because my dad was very clever. He was a real, he was a promoter and all sorts of things. He was actually a dance master and a fantastic artist, and promoter, hotel owner, gambling casino man, and all that. And so I went up the stairs, and he says, thank you, Sonny. They used to call me Sonny instead of Bernie or Tony. And this is now, where's the change? And I says, what change? And so he took me by my little hand and led me down the steppies, and he lifted up the mat down there, and he said,
that change right there.
And I wish he would have beat the tar out of me, but he didn't. It just embarrassed me so much that it was unbelievable. But it was this demon spirit that came to me, and I was then accountable for sin. I sinned. Not only did I steal, but I lied to him. And so this is what happens. An overpowering spirit, when we don't have the Spirit of the Lord in us, well, these seducing spirits can actually overpower you. But when the Spirit of the Lord is in you, then you don't fall for things like that. You are able to, by the Spirit of God living in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to, when you feel the demon coming to tempt you, to lie, to steal, or whatever, to become a lesbian or a homosexual, you just rebuke it in the name of Jesus, because you know the Word of God says that if you do such things, you're going to spend eternity in hell. But the devil loves to pick on kids. And all these homosexuals that have been hit with this same demon when they were small believe that God made a mistake. He should have made them a female instead of a male. And all these females that say they were always wanting to be a man all their life, that was the devil that entered them when they were young saying God is making a mistake. Instead of an X, they should have really been a Y. And the Ys, who are men, a men child, should have been Xs, which are women. And that's the trick that Satan pulls on people. The Bible says that Satan has deceived the whole world. And so by reading the Word of the Lord, all this gets straightened out for you. And if you think you're a homosexual and that God made a mistake with you, no, you're making the mistake. Satan has caused you to believe that you're something that you're not. If you have a male sex organ, you're a boy, all right? And if you have a female sex organ, you're a girl. Okay, that's all there is to it. And if there's a demon in you, then you have to reject that demon, because it'll take you straight to hell. And it maybe happened to you when you were so young that you weren't, you don't know how it really happened. You just felt like a girl. Or if you were a boy, And if you were a girl, you felt like a man, a boy. But, you know, all you have to do is get saved and ask the Lord to cast that demon that entered you when you were a little boy or a little girl, and it'll go. The Lord is more powerful than the devil. It isn't the devil that's holding the universe up, the world, in just mid-air, in space. It's the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, there's all kinds of things. Like, the devil tried to make me think that I'm a liar and a thief. And really, because I was defenseless, I didn't know the Bible, didn't know how to defend myself spiritually. I thought I was, you know. And I think if I would have been punished by my dad for that, I probably would have felt, well, okay, my sin has been forgiven. But beatings don't forgive sin. Lighting candles don't forgive sin. Ringing bells or saying so many Hail Marys doesn't forgive sin. Or Our Fathers or anything else. Or flogging yourself with a cat of nine tails or a board or whatever. Or laying on a bed of nails. There's only one source in the world that can forgive sins. That's Jesus. There's one mediator to the throne of God, and that's the man Christ Jesus, not Mary. It's a sin to pray through to the God through any statue, through Mary or anybody else. That's a very big sin. And there's no forgiveness of sin but through the blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and shed his precious blood for you, because this is all throughout, from the book of Genesis throughout the entire Bible. It's just the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Mary wasn't deity, never was, never will be. She never shed her blood for you or died for your sins, because she was a sinner. Every person had the Adamic sin on their soul when they were born. And she had to be forgiven through the blood of Jesus herself. And she's not deity. The Bible never says she is at all. which it says that she's blessed, and so are you blessed if you will receive the truth. And you're cursed if you don't. Jesus said those who believe him, who is the Word of God, are blessed and shall be saved, and those that don't believe shall be damned. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you won't know that unless you read the Word of God. So, you know, different religions tell you that the Word of God is evil and that it's dangerous. No, they're dangerous if you believe them. Just like that satanic spirit that hit me when I was around 2 years old was dangerous. It caused me to do that. I never thought of such a thing to do. And I certainly never would have thought I was a girl unless the devil would have come and hit me that way. I'm glad he didn't hit me that way, you know, telling me that I'm a Nelly drag queen, you know. Oh, I'm glad that never happened to me. But if it had, I know that the Bible says that if I ask the Spirit of the Lord to enter into me, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he would have cast that devil out of me. Amen?
Yeah.
Because that's who's telling you that you're a homosexual. That's who's telling you that you're a boy if you're a girl. And just receive what the Lord is saying. And don't cut yourself for the dead. And don't cut your hair or do anything for the dead or light candles for them. That isn't going to do a cotton-picking thing. Okay? They're gone. It's all over for them. They're wherever they are. And, you know, we can mourn. I mean, that's legal. Because we're not going to see him again until we're on the other side. But otherwise, I don't do it. Because it's a sin. To disobey God is the same as witchcraft. And you don't want to be judged as a witch. Okay? We have the Word of God to instruct us as what to do and what not to do. So do what he says. He said, you're my friend if, here's the condition, and if the condition is if you do everything that I tell you to do. Amen?
Amen.
And you're saved if you do everything that I tell you to do. And you can't do anything. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And in other words, if I'm not living in you, then you can't do any of the commandments that I'm telling you to do. So just going to a church is of no value whatsoever unless you're born again. There's people sitting in my church that have not yet received the Holy Spirit. They think that going to church is going to save their soul. Or a lot of people think that by tithing money, that's going to save your soul. Nothing short of Christ with the Father by the Spirit entering your body can save your soul. And then after that happens, you have to take up the cross. You have to deny yourself your old former life and start following the Lord. That's what salvation is all about. And if you're the same type person after the Spirit of the Lord enters in you, then he's going to send seven devils more. Seven devils more will come into you if you don't keep the commandments, if you don't live a godly life. And it'll be impossible for you to enter the kingdom of heaven then. Because just think how long it was and how hard it was for you to get that one devil out of you. The Lord immediately smote it out, and sometimes you might have a legion of devils in you. However many you've got in you, demons, the Lord will cast them all out. But that's if you trust him. That is if you believe him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means believe on the whole Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Because Jesus is the Word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning, 1:1 and 2, and then also later on it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and still is God. Amen?
Amen?
And the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. God came to the world in a flesh, in the body of a man. And if you accept Christ and all the things that he said, because he said, the things that I say are not my own, the things I'm saying are actually the Father in me saying them. And the miracles that I'm doing are not by man, but it's the Father in me. The Father tells me to say to Lazarus, come out of that death, that grave. Come out. And Lazarus did come out of that tomb. Amen?
Amen.
But what an embarrassment it would be if he did that on his own. He heard from the Father to say, come out in front of all the people. And he did not become the laughingstock. That dead man rose from the grave after being dead for 4 days and walked out of that tomb. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So just obey what the Lord says, and then you'll have the power. You'll have the faith, even if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you'll be able to say to any of your troubles, which seem to be mountainous, depart. Because if you keep the commandments of the Lord, all the curses come off of you, and you have nothing but blessings. But if you don't, you're going to have nothing but curses and no blessings at all. The Lord lets you have some blessing like food and water, and he'll let you eat and sleep and have a few things. And sometimes a lot of things, he knows you're going to hell, he'll let you, because that's all you'll have in this world, is what you got. But in eternity, you will have nothing but torment. All right, so let's go to the next verse, please.
For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself.
Right, a different kind of people, a person that is just solely owned by God and nobody else. That means a people that will not do anything that these seducing spirits say to them. They're peculiar. That means that they're owned only by God. If you're not owned only by God, if you try to deviate from his word, then you're not a peculiar person, peculiar to the Lord, owned by the Lord only. Because if you break one commandment, God said that you've broken them all. Amen?
Amen.
So keep all the commandments and live. You are my friend. He says, if you break one, you've broken them all. So if you are a liar, then you're also a lesbian or a homosexual. Or you murdered. You murder people by not keeping, letting the Lord live out his life in you, because they don't see any testimony of the Lord in you. Because you lie. You're a liar. And all liars shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. If you murder somebody, you've broken every commandment, because you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. Would you like somebody to come and murder you? Well, then why are you murdering somebody else? That's breaking God's commandments, and that means that you've committed lesbianism, homosexuality, fornication, murder, everything in the book. You don't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because if you did, you'd keep the commandments. Amen?
Amen.
You covet. You're not controlled by the Holy Spirit. You may say, well, the Lord doesn't want to control us. No, he makes us free moral agents, but he wants you to choose who you're going to be controlled by, either the spirit of the Lord or the spirit of Satan. Now, if you want to be, don't want to come to the Lord and get deliverance from that demon that says you're a homosexual or a lesbian or a thief and a liar or whatever, then you're living under the power of Satan. The Lord came to set you free from those demons, from that prison, from Satan's grip. And that'll happen the minute you come to the Lord and surrender your life to him. And then afterwards, he requires that you come and follow him and go and sin no more. All right? All right, then what?
The Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth.
Yeah, because all the nations, the whole world is sinning. The whole world is deceived by this evil spirit that hit me when I was 1.5 or 2 years old. And so the Lord wants you to come to him to be delivered, and so that you can rest from this slavery of this demon that possessed you, or demons that possessed you before. He wants to set you free from these demons that have got you thinking that you're a girl when you're a boy, or you're a boy when you're a girl, or that you're a drug addict or something. You're not any of these things. It's the demon in you that's saying that, and the Lord wants to free you from Satan's prison house, from his grip, because Satan is powerful if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, but he's nothing once the Spirit of the Lord is in you, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that holds up the whole universe with his word. He'll hold you up. He'll keep you in his path if you just follow his instruction. That means lean upon the Lord to just do what he says. That's just trust in the Lord with all your heart, and all these demons will depart from you. All right? You don't have to be a liar. The devil entered you. You don't have to be a person that blasphemes. You don't have to be a person that betrays brothers and sisters in the Lord. All you have to do is come to the Lord and ask the Lord to deliver you from all that. You don't have to be a phony or a schemer or somebody that plots the murder of somebody, or plots to get their finances, something that belongs to them because you covet what they have. Get that out of your system, because the Lord will never bless you. There'll be nothing but curses on your life, and you're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. You'll be gnashing on your teeth and chewing on your tongue for the pain there. And you'll never be able to sit down and rest, or you'll never be able to eat or drink. You'll be like screaming your head off forever and ever. Then what else?
Verse 3, thou shalt not eat any abominable thing.
Right, so, you know, he says if you Gentiles want to eat pork, shrimp, and all these things, go ahead at it. He tells people, you know, if you ask the Lord to bless it, if you have that much faith to where you believe it'll be blessed. But I keep seeing people that eat that stuff die young, you know? They die young. They stuff themselves with all the that the Lord said is abominations. Go ahead. You have to eat. The Lord tells us what the right thing is to eat. But he says, you know, if they want to eat it, it won't send your soul to hell, but it'll take you to an early grave. Because those things are not food. They're actually scavengers. If you eat a buzzard sandwich with lettuce and mayo, or, you know, pig meat with lettuce and mayo, or horse, or rabbit, which is nothing more than a mouse, or a rat, the same thing with squirrels and things that I see a lot of the people out here eating, and they all wind up with heart attacks. Ducks and geese, the same thing, but chickens and turkeys are fine. Pheasants are fine. Anything that has a gizzard in it. But go ahead and let's read some.
Verse 4. These are the beasts which ye shall eat, the ox, the sheep, and the goat.
See, these are like, that's cattle. Okay, they're clean. Then what?
Verse 5. The hart, and the roebuck, and the fallow deer, and the wild goat, and the phargeg, and the wild ox, and the chamois. Verse 6.
Okay. Go over here to 1-5.
Okay.
So you can tell what all that chamois is.
Translation verse.
Somebody might eat that cloth that they wash their car with. Okay? That's a chamois. Okay, then what else? Well, the Lord says it's legal, right?
Yes.
Okay. Heretic.
Translation verse 1-5. The ceremonially clean and unclean animals. Since you are the people of the Lord your God, never cut yourselves or shave the hair above your foreheads for the sake of the dead. You have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God.
Yeah, you're alive. You're not dead if you're of the Lord. A lot of people think that people that are preachers are preaching the gospel of death. No, you're dead. We're preaching so that you can come to life. Okay, because the gospel is life. The truth is life and light. But you're in darkness and dead if you're not born again of the Spirit. Then what?
And he has chosen you to be his own special treasure of all the nations of the earth. Verse 3. You must not eat animals that are ceremonially unclean. Verse 4. These are the animals you may eat. The ox, the sheep, the goat. Verse 5. The deer, the gazelle, the roebuck, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. King James Version, verse 6. And every beast that parteth the hoof, and cleaveth the cleft into two claws, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that ye shall eat.
Yeah, like a duck doesn't, it hasn't got claws, you know, it has to have claws like a chicken or a turkey. It's got web feet. That's yuck, okay? That's gag. Okay, what else?
Verse 7. Nevertheless, these ye shall not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the cloven hoof, as the camel, and the hare, and the coney.
The hare and the coney, you know, these are like, the hare is like a rat or a mouse. That's really another gag, all right? And then what else?
For they chew the cud, but divide not the hoof. Therefore they are unclean unto you.
Right, and today you see them selling horse meat and camel meat and all that. People just, they don't know the Bible. You'll do anything. Before I was saved, I used to do that. I used to eat hog meat. I used to eat pork chops. It was a fine day when a pork chop would come my way. But when I read that in the Bible, that then it's like gag. You know, because I believe God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Verse 8, and the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass.
And some people say, well, it's because they didn't have refrigeration in those days. That is what the Lord said. Amen?
Amen.
This is his everlasting word. Even today when we have refrigerators, okay? Then what else?
Verse 9, these ye shall eat of all that are in the waters. All that have fins and scales shall ye eat. Verse 10, and whatsoever hath not fins and scales, ye may not eat.
Yeah, like sharks, you're not supposed to eat that, shark meat, or sailfish, or swordfish, and, you know, catfish. Boy, people hate you if you tell them you're not supposed to eat catfish, or shrimp, or lobster, or crabs, and crawdads especially. Don't say that down in New Orleans unless you want to get some persecution, all right? But I do anyway. I'd rather get the persecution from man than the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
It is unclean unto you.
Yeah, they're scavengers. They're there for like vacuum cleaners. I don't want to eat my vacuum cleaner, and I don't want to eat any of these things that God put on earth to clean the face of the earth or the bottom of the ocean. Amen?
Amen.
It's ridiculous. Okay, what else?
Of all clean birds ye shall eat. Verse 12. But these are they of which ye shall not eat, the eagle, and the ossifrage, and the osprey. Verse 13. And the gleed, and the kite, and the vulture after his kind.
No vultures, no bat sandwiches, okay? Or barbecued bat, or vulture, you know, good. Yuck. Gag. Amen? What else? Even before I was saved, I knew better than that.
Verse 14. And every raven after his kind. Verse 15, and the owl, and the night hawk, and the cuckoo, and the hawk after his kind.
I don't want no cuckoo sandwich, right? Anything cuckoo, all right? And this stuff is really cuckoo. All right, then what?
Verse 16, the little owl, and the great owl, and the swan. Verse 17, and the pelican, and the gear eagle, and the cormorant. Verse 18, and the stork, and the heron after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat. Verse 19, and every creeping thing that flieth is unclean unto you, they shall not be eaten.
The bat looks to me like a flying mouse. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go to the translation here.
Okay. Verse 6 through 19, any animal that has split hooves and chews the cud may be eaten. Verse 7, but if the animal doesn't have both, it may not be eaten. So you may not eat the camel, the hare, or the rock badger. They chew the cud, but do not have split hooves. Verse 8, and the pig may not be eaten, for though it has split hooves, it does not chew the cud. All these animals are ceremonially unclean for you. You may not eat or even touch the dead bodies of such animals. Verse 9, as for marine animals, you may eat whatever has both fins and scales.
So, you know, you're not supposed to even touch these things. You see these people eating those baby back pigs with their fingers like that? Not only are they eating them, but they're touching them with their fingers, right?
Right.
And a lot of other things that they do. Okay, what else?
Verse 10. You may not, however, eat marine animals that do not have both fins and scales. They are ceremonially unclean for you. Verse 11. You may eat any bird that is ceremonially clean. Verse 12. These are the birds you may not eat: the eagle, the vulture, the osprey. Verse 13. The buzzard, kites of all kinds. Verse 14. The ravens of all kinds. Verse 15. The ostrich, the nighthawk, the seagull, hawks of all kinds.
No robins or canaries or bluebirds, blue jays, woodpeckers, none of that. Or sparrows. And then what?
Verse 16, the little owl, the great owl, the white owl. Verse 17, the pelican, the carrion vulture, the cormorant. Verse 18, the stork, herons of all kinds, the hoopoe, and the bat. Verse 19, all flying insects are ceremonially unclean for you and may not be eaten. King James Version, verse 20, but of all clean fowls ye may eat. Verse 21, ye shall not eat of anything that dieth of itself. Thou shalt give it unto the stranger that is in thy gates, that he may eat it, or thou mayest sell it unto an alien. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God.
And the aliens, the Gentiles, are not. So Gentiles can become holy only by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ in them, the Father, and then also if they keep his commandments. That's the thing that people don't like. They don't like to be told what to do, even by God. But they're the losers, because they're not going to heaven. Then what else?
Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk.
Okay, that means to not boil the goat in its mother's milk. Doesn't mean that you can't have a cheeseburger. Right?
Right.
The kid is not a calf. The kid is a goat. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get that straight. So enjoy your cheeseburgers, kiddies. All right, go ahead.
Okay, translation verse 20 and 21. But you may eat any winged creature that is ceremonially clean. Verse 21. Do not eat anything that has died a natural death. You may give it to a foreigner living among you, or you may sell it to a foreigner, but do not eat it yourselves.
Well, what kind of God is that? He's the God that says that that's okay, because they want to be ceremonially unclean, and they don't care about God or his commandments, so you can sell stuff to them that's ceremonially unclean. Amen?
Amen.
Let them eat things that dies of itself of cancer or whatever, okay, or they have heart attacks. That's what he says. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
For you are set apart as holy to the Lord your God. Do not boil a young goat in its mother's milk.
Okay, that doesn't talk about cheeseburgers, right?
No.
Mm-hmm. A young goat in its mother's milk. All right, and besides, having a piece of cheese on a hamburger is not boiling the burger in the milk. Amen?
Amen.
The Jews better get that straight, all right? Then what else? Amen.
King James Version, verse 22. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year. Verse 23. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Verse 24. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, verse 25, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Verse 26, and thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household.
And don't think that strong drink and wine is okay today, because we now have the wine of the Spirit, amen, which
amen.
Is the Spirit of the Lord. You don't need that stuff. That's for people that didn't have the Spirit of God in them back then. Okay, then what else?
Verse 27, and the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. Verse 28, at the end of 3 years thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shalt lay it up within thy gates. Verse 29, and the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest.
Okay, now the translation.
Verse 22 through 29. The giving of tithes. You must set aside tithes of your crops, one-tenth of all the crops you harvest each year. Verse 23. Bring this tithe to the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored, and eat it there in his presence. This applies to your tithe of grain, new wine, olive oil, and the firstborn males of your flocks and herds. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to fear the Lord your God. Verse 24, Now the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored might be a long way from your home. Verse 25. If so, you may sell the tithe portion of your crops and herds and take the money to the place that the Lord your God chooses. Verse 26. When you arrive, use the money to buy anything you want, an ox, a sheep, some wine or beer. Then feast there in the presence of the Lord your God and celebrate with your household. Verse 27. And do not forget the Levites in your community, for they have no inheritance as you do. Verse 28. At the end of every third year, bring the tithe of all your crops and store it in the nearest town. Verse 29. Give it to the Levites who have no inheritance among you, as well as to the foreigners living among you, the orphans and the widows in your towns, so they can eat and be satisfied. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all your work.
Okay, so that was the last verse of chapter 14 in Deuteronomy. Now we have some commentary.
14 verse 2. As children of God, we need to stand out. We need to be different. We must begin by realizing that nothing in our life may be outside God's interest. Because God is holy, our lives must be holy as well. We have to characterize, we must allow him to live out his life of holiness in us, in everything that we do. Those of us that are mature need to take a constant personal inventory of ourselves. We need to seek God's word for achieving the completeness in the Spirit, which is the most important part of following God's call to eternal life. 14 verse 1. Those prohibitions are against mourning customs of the pagan cults for the dead. 14 verse 3 through 21. The Old Testament is very clear regarding the principle behind the selecting of clean, unclean, or detestable animals. Some people think that it is a matter of hygiene. Others think that unclean animals were sacred to Canaanite religions. Jesus' teaching, the Bible, tells us that these animals are not for God's people because he is holy. They don't eat abominations. When God was showing Peter to kill and eat, he had symbolic unclean animals which were symbolic of the Gentiles. Acts 10:13.
Yeah, that's symbolic of the Gentile nations, to allow them to come into Christianity, to be into salvation, just like everyone else. It wasn't telling them to eat the unclean beasts, but to a fellowship, or if they get saved, that they are now part of spiritual Israel, part of the New Jerusalem, part of the Bride of Christ, part of the church. And what?
Acts 10:13, quote, "And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat," unquote.
In other words, kill the devil in them by preaching the word, and let them come in and eat the word of God just like you do, all right? Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
14 verse 21. This seems to be a clear indicator that the dietary rules presented in this chapter are not solely for hygiene purposes, but existed because God's holy people were set apart strictly to him. They were to be distinct in Canaan. Every one of these animals and birds that the Lord stated were no good, and fish, are all like vacuum cleaners. They're scavengers to clean the earth and the seas.
Right, no. If people want to eat them, then they're Gentiles. Let them. If that's what they want to eat, lard and things like that, well, you know, they're not saved. And so the main thing is to try to get them saved. They're not going to receive that sort of thing until they get saved. And if they make up stories, you know, that that's all right because the Lord said so, they want to twist the scriptures, well, let them. Just go ahead and let them. Don't try to teach people what to eat. Especially if they argue with you about it, because the main thing is to get them saved. Just preach salvation to them. And if they're not going to be saved, it's for sure they're not going to curb their appetites and the things that they love to eat. You take a person that loves oysters on the half shell, or a shrimp, or lobster, and they love it, you're just fighting a fruitless battle to try to stop them from eating. That's not what it's all about, because the kingdom of heaven is not food and drink anyway. And so just let them be. Just preach the gospel to them of salvation. Okay, what else?
14, verse 22 through 27. The giving of the tithes, quote, a tenth, unquote, is an act of worship drawn of God as the provider of the harvest. Giving the tithes regularly teaches the people to recognize and remember that their prosperity is not their own doing. The emphasis of his tithe, in contrast to the more detailed principles in Numbers chapter 18, verse 21 through 32, and Leviticus 27, verse 30 through 33, highlights the celebration of God's provision by eating a joyful family meal. 14, verse 24 through 26. This special provision was to accommodate those living a great distance from the sanctuary who had such a large tithe that it was impractical to transport them. 14, verse 29. Throughout the Bible, the interest of the poor and needy are connected with the interest of God. The reason for caring for the underprivileged was that God would bless the giver.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 14 of Deuteronomy. And let us remember these things until chapter 15. Praise the Lord. Keep remembering these things. Meditate on the Lord day and night. And stand another day in the Holy Spirit. Amen.